Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar, who is with us by telephone today. Steve?
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Great. I can hear you.
I can hear you, too.
Excellent. Steve is down someplace or other, southeast of here.
Southeast.
Yeah, but I get confused. All those towns down there seem pretty much the same to me. Warren, Youngstown, Girard, I don't know. But he's somewhere down there. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I like the Youngstown area. Anyway. Go ahead.
We've had Paul Wilbur down here.
I know. More times, I think, than we've had him up here.
Southern Kingdom.
Yeah, we call it the Southern Kingdom.
Yeah.
Except you don't say shalom, y'all, like Marty Goetz does in Tennessee.
No, we're not that far south.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you've been listening to the last three or four shows, and if you haven't, you can go to the website, which is www.giftsofgraceministries.org, and go under Gift of Grace Radio, and you can hear not only the last few shows, but you can hear every show back to, I think it's 2009. There's a lot of shows there now. But anyway, and there's a lot of other stuff there too, so I encourage you to do that. So the last few shows, we've been talking about John's Gospel, where Jesus is talking about how the Holy Spirit is going to come after he leaves, how another comforter, another helper, another paraclete, another advocate, and I use all those words because they're all sort of in the same meaning, and some translations have various ones and or another of those, but another paraclete, another helper is coming, and he's going to instruct these disciples in all truth, going to remind them of everything he has said, and is going to empower them to go out and actually preach the gospel. And we have to always keep in mind that these men that he's talking to, who have been with him for 3 years, walking around in Galilee and going up to Jerusalem and going back to Galilee and spending a lot of time with him, really don't get what he's talking about and really don't understand how they're going to go throughout the world and preach the gospel, because this is a pretty daunting thing to even talk about, let alone do. But he's assuring them that when the helper comes, this is going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And last week we ended up at John 16, a passage that was verse 7 to 9. We're going to have Steve read that again, and just so we kind of get back into the swing of it. And you want to add anything, Steve?
No, not yet.
Okay. All right, so why don't you read...
Good introduction, Phil.
Yeah. So why don't you... Yeah. So if you, I'm sure by now you have flipped through your Bibles or double-clicked on something or other and gotten to John 16. So, Steve, if you want to read verses 7 through 9...
But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go, for if I do not go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned.
Ooh. Yeah, so here we go. Here's the divine sovereign plan. Jesus has to accomplish his work of salvation first. The Spirit coming is the fruit of that. And he says, you know, don't be sad that I'm leaving, because actually it's going to be really good for you guys if I go away. You don't think so right now, but it's going to be really good for you guys if I go away, because then the Spirit's going to come. And then he starts telling them a little bit about what the Spirit's going to do. He, meaning the Spirit, will convict the world of sin. The whole world, not just the Jews, not just Israel, not just the people living in the land, So Jew and Gentile alike, the whole world's going to be convicted of sin. And that's still happening, by the way, in 2015.
It does.
Whether you're in the Cleveland area or the Youngstown area or you live in Peru, the Holy Spirit is still convicting the world of sin. And the term conviction, you know, is a very powerful thing. He's not just mentioning sins or talking about the sins. Conviction is a deep thing that's down in your heart, down in your soul, you know, that you've done bad things, that you stand condemned, you stand in judgment. And then he adds this kind of interesting thing that isn't intuitive, that he says, you know, not believing in Jesus is really the greatest problem. There's a lot of other sins, you know, there's murdering and stealing and there's adultery and there's coveting and there's all these things that we know about. But as it turns out, the worst thing that can happen to you is you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that you don't know Him as your Lord. And the Spirit's going to show you how important this is as your way to salvation.
Right. Right. I mean, because if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know who He is and what He's done for you, you're still left in your sin.
Yeah. And like we said last time, I think it's kind of intuitive to know that if you kill somebody, it's wrong. And it's kind of intuitive to know that if you steal something, it's wrong. And unless you're a real sociopath, you understand that those things aren't right. But it's not intuitive to know that not knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the worst thing that you can do.
Right.
This has to be shown to you. This has to be given to your spirit in a way that only a divine intervention can really do. And as we go down in a couple of minutes to another verse, we're going to see how the Spirit's actually going to do that. And as we've said before, He's going to show you. Jesus says He's going to witness about Me. He's not going to talk about Himself. He's going to talk about Me. I've been here talking about the Father and glorifying the Father. And then I'm going to go back to heaven and the Father is going to glorify Me in heaven. And I've been glorifying the Father here, and I'm going to sit at the Father's right hand, and I'm going to intercede with the Father. And the Father's going to send the Spirit, and the Spirit is going to glorify and talk about Me. And we have the triune God all involved in this intricate plan of salvation, where the Spirit isn't going to come and talk about Himself. And I like to use the example of Pentecost morning when 120 people are filled with the Spirit. They don't go out in the street and start talking about, wow, we've just been filled by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. They go out in the street and they start preaching Jesus. They start preaching the gospel. They connect Jesus to not only Joel chapter 2, or in some Bibles it's 3, but not only Joel chapter 2, but they connect Jesus to this whole plan that unfolds itself through the whole Tanakh. And 3,000 people are cut to the heart.
Yes. Well, you know, you bring up a really great point, and I think it cuts to the heart of where the church is at today. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, He comes with power.
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will testify back to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who Jesus is, what He's done, and where you stand before Him in that we can become His righteousness.
Exactly.
If we receive Him.
Yes.
But when you start to just talk about the Holy Spirit, but not talk about who Jesus is and what He's done, there's a huge gap there.
Mm-hmm.
Because how can you really understand the Holy Spirit if you don't understand the One who came before the Holy Spirit and ascended so that the Advocate can come and speak on His behalf?
Yes.
You know, as we've talked many times about being an ambassador, we're ambassadors for Christ. And what does an ambassador do? An ambassador talks about and gives the message of the One who sent him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not there to talk about himself.
Right.
But he comes and he brings the message of the one who sent him. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. So he always points back to the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you and I both have seen this, where you see people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, which is not that that's a bad thing, but you can't just talk about the gifts. You have to talk about the one who gives the gift, mm-hmm. and where it originates from.
Yeah. And I mean, you may have had this experience too, and your listeners may have had it too, but I've been in places where people are trying to baptize people in the Holy Spirit, and the people that they're trying to baptize in the Holy Spirit don't even know who Jesus is. I mean, they know who he is, but they don't really know the salvation that they have in the blood.
Yeah. They
haven't really accepted Jesus as their Savior.
Right.
And, you know, somebody's trying to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not going to work.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly the point that I'm...
Yeah,
when
exactly.
You were talking, I'm like, that's hitting me. Like, this is something that's really crucial that we understand as believers and even a non-believer, because mm-hmm. you have to know the Messiah first before you're going to know the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And Jesus' mission had to be completed, and he emphasizes this throughout these last few passages that we've read,
mm-hmm.
that now I'm going back to the Father. Now you're not going to see me anymore. Now you're going to be glad that I'm leaving, because now another comforter is coming. Another teacher is coming.
Mm-hmm.
He's been teaching them, this particular group, he's been teaching them for 3 years. They've learned a lot from him, and they've kind of, you know, sometimes their eyes have been opened and they've said some awesome things, and sometimes they've said some ridiculous things, and sometimes they've said, what is he talking about? We just don't get it. But, you know, now he says basically that another teacher is coming, and this teacher is going to teach you all truth.
Right.
All truth.
Right.
Which is a very encompassing thing, as we're going to see when we get to the next session. But Jesus says he's going to the Father. You're not going to see me anymore because I'm going to the Father. You're not going to see me here in the flesh anymore because, of course, his resurrected body is going to ascend into heaven. He's going to be seated at the right hand. But don't worry, because the other paraclete is coming. You're not going to be left alone. You're not going to be orphans. And you're not going to be saying, we can't remember what Jesus told us, because the Spirit's going to remind them of everything that he has said. And he tells them that directly. The Spirit will remind you of all the things I've told you.
Right.
And he's going to tell you all truth.
Right. Right. And this all-encompassing truth that you're talking about leads the world to the conviction that it is sin.
Mm-hmm.
There is sin in the world. And because they don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the state of our world today,
yeah.
Do people believe in, and I mean believe in, not know facts about, but do they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Jesus comes, and we're to put on the mind of Christ, we're to be clothed in his righteousness. But if we don't go before him and confess our sins, and acknowledge our sinfulness before Jesus, who laid his life down for me, then can I really see past my own sinfulness to even grow in that relationship with
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's the basis of it all.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what the Holy Spirit really does. I mean, the Holy Spirit convicts us, not that he's convicting us to a sentence of punishment or death,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, we're going to be in prison, but the Holy Spirit convicts us in the sense that he reveals and shows to us things that are not pleasing to the Lord, things that are not in God's will. And when we see that, because we still have free will, we have the ability to choose, do I want to let go of this, or do I want to remain in this state of sin?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really amazing thing that happens, because God's love for us is so immense, but yet he loves us enough that he wants us to choose to follow him.
Yeah, exactly. He won't violate our free will.
Right.
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 As you always like to say, you know, your free will is, he doesn't interfere with that.
No, he doesn't. And that is the ultimate, you know, that is the ultimate sign of pure and true love.
Mm-hmm.
Because God doesn't want us to be controlled like puppets. We're his sons and daughters adopted through Jesus Christ, and he calls us friends.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and if you're a friend with somebody, you know, usually you don't have to, you know, convince your friend, or you don't have to coerce your friend into doing something. You know, they'll do it willingly because they love you.
Exactly. And when he says, and we're going to do, I think we're going to do the whole next show about I Call You Friends. I think that's a really, I think that's a pretty cool topic.
Yeah.
We're going to start doing that maybe later today too. I don't know. We'll see. But I kind of like this idea that he calls us friends. And then in his humanity, he's also our brother in the flesh. In the book of Hebrews, which actually is my favorite book, it says he's not ashamed to call us brethren.
Right.
Because in the flesh we're his brothers and sisters. So when he comes back to judge the world, or when he judges each individual person, our judge is going to be our brother and our friend. So that sounds pretty good.
It does.
We'll get some, you know, good treatment that way. But if you're not his friend, I mean, I guess you're still his brother in the flesh, but if you're not his friend, the treatment's not going to be as nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there's been a lot of people, I think it's kind of the sign of the times. The last few weeks, there's been a lot of people that have been confronting me saying, well, you know, everybody's basically good and I'm a good person. And I, you know, I don't know, this stuff you talk about, you sound like you're pretty, that sounds pretty restrictive. It sounds like you're pretty narrow-minded. You know, most people I know are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's kind of the prevailing thought in the world today, that everybody's, you know, pretty good.
Right.
And some of these mass murderers, or some of these people that kill people in schools and so forth, you know, maybe they're going to hell, but everybody else is in pretty good shape.
You know, if we go back to the garden, well, not the garden, if we go back to Adam and Eve and their first two offspring, Cain and Abel, one's offering was acceptable to God. Cain's wasn't, but Abel's, mm-hmm. God looked with favor upon Abel's sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real lesson for us if we were to take our daily lives and present them as an offering to God and say, God, does this please you?
Mm-hmm.
And really honestly wait for the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an excellent point. We should do that multiple times per day.
We should do that multiple times per day.
Ooh, I hear music.
Yeah.
Wow, it's the end of the first segment already. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
I call you friend. That's what you are. All that I do, I share with you. I have no secrets, I have no need to keep them to myself, for I tell you till the end, I call you my friend. You call me master, and so I am. All that I do, you will do too. Secrets I'll whisper, and what you hear, you'll shout aloud out to a world that's near its end. I call you. I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Truly I say to you, you'll have tribulation, but have no fear, dear one, be of good cheer. Truly I have overcome, you too will overcome. Come, my friend, I know who you are. Before you were, I knew of you. You've so many secrets, you've so many needs. Don't keep them to yourself, no one to help you in the end. Just call my name, I'm always the same. I search for all who will claim the love I send, so I can call them friend. Say, can I call you my friend?
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's our friend Marty Goetz.
Yeah.
From right up here in Beechwood, Ohio.
Yeah.
And he's a good friend of Steve and I's and great guy. Been on the show a couple of times at least.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Oh, yeah, he is a good guy.
Has he been on the show more than Paul?
I think it's about equal.
About equal?
I think it's about equal. I think both of I think they've each been on twice.
Yeah.
But if you ever get to, I know we talk about Paul Wilbur a lot, but if you ever get, unfortunately, Marty's usually on the West Coast all the time.
Yeah.
Even though he lives in Tennessee. Sure. But if you get, you can Google him. I don't know his website like I do Paul's, but if you can find his schedule, it would certainly be worth going to if you've never heard him. It's kind of a relaxed worship, which is, a whole different style than Paul Wilbur's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But,
MartyGoetz.com.
MartyGoetz.com. Wow. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that?
The obvious answer.
Yeah. And you will like, one of my favorite things that he did that, you know, is his connection to the Cleveland area was, the song about his bar mitzvah. Which was on the corner of Mayfield and Lee, where the Temple on the Heights used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And now that congregation moved into Beechwood a long, long time ago. But, Temple on the Heights now is a, African American Pentecostal church, which is also pretty awesome. But Marty Goetz sings this cool song about his bar mitzvah. This was, you know, clearly before he was a believer. And then he goes into how he found Jesus and all his relatives are kind of like, hey, what's with this now? You know, you used to be such a good kid. Now what's wrong with you? And then he sings about how he's a Jew born anew. And that's one of my favorite of his songs.
Yeah.
But we're going to go to John. We're going to go a little bit further. Actually, the next passage, John 16. Steve, if you read like verses, let's read 12 through 15.
Sure. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because I will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will see me and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while later and you will see me.
Hmm. Now you see at the beginning how well he understands us. In the book of Hebrews, which is my favorite book, It talks in chapter 4 how we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you know, at the first verse there that Steve just read, he says, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. he knows how much these guys can absorb.
Right.
And by this time, they're sitting there going, what in the world is he talking about?
Exactly.
So he says, I can't tell you anything. You can't understand anymore. You can't cope with any more stuff. Then he adds, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he's going to guide you in all truth. So when the Spirit comes, then you're going to understand these things. Then you're going to understand even more. You're going to understand all truth. And he says the Spirit will guide them. You know, the cloud in the wilderness, the which we all know as the Shekinah glory, guided the people through the wilderness on, of course, kind of a zigzag route. But that was because of their disobedience. If they would have been nice and faithful, they could have got to the promised land in a couple of weeks.
That's pretty much true, probably.
Yeah, but the Spirit, you know, the cloud in the wilderness guided them like the Spirit is going to guide. So when the cloud rose from the mercy seat in the tent and started to move, the people immediately started packing up their stuff, packing up the holy things. The Levites got all the things in the sanctuary kind of put away and wrapped up because they had to follow where the Shekinah, where the glory cloud was going.
Yeah.
And then it would stop and they would set up camp again because the cloud was leading them.
Yeah.
And we, of course, respond to promptings of the Spirit of where he's going to lead. And sometimes, you know, you're camped like the Israelites. You might be camped in a place and you say, well, this is pretty nice here where I'm camped. We got, you know, we're in the shade. There's a little creek rolling through here and it's not as hot as it was at the other place we just were and it's kind of comfortable here. I got some new pillows for my tent. And then all of a sudden the cloud starts to move.
You gotta go.
And they go, oh man, I liked it here. And isn't that what happens to us? And those of us, well, those of you and partially me that are in full-time ministry, you can get very comfortable with where you are and what you're doing and how things are going and all the people that are around you. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit starts to move, kind of like the cloud starts to move.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you feel the cloud saying, well, you know, this is coming to an end now, so get ready because you're going to go to this other place next.
Right.
And you
right.
say, but wait a minute. I've been doing this for the last however many years, and I'm kind of comfortable with this now, and I know my way around. I know everybody who works here, and next thing you know, you're in Kansas City or somewhere again doing something. Nothing wrong with Kansas City, but you know, you're someplace else that a few months ago or a year ago, you would have never thought you would be changing your position.
Right.
Because the Spirit moves, the Spirit guides, just like the cloud guided the people. And that reminds me too, speaking of people in full-time ministry, and those, actually what I should say is, people who are committed believers that are really following the Lord, the Spirit also, we were talking about convicts the world of sin, also convicts not just secular non-believing people, but also convicts believing people of things that they're doing or things that they shouldn't be doing or things that they should be doing differently.
Right.
We were talking about that during the break. Steve, you want to?
Yeah, you know, what we were talking about was that even leaders in the church, even those who have been called to serve, God still calls them to come before him humbly with a humble and a contrite heart so that he can continue to prune them and that they can bear even more fruit. And sometimes, you know, it's human nature that once you graduate, so to speak. Well, I got the position, I got the title, and I got, I got all this stuff, so I'm good to go now. It's easy to just put yourself in that place of, well, I don't really have to, that all doesn't apply to me anymore, so mm-hmm. to speak. Not that believers don't think that the laws of God don't apply to them, but it's easy to get comfortable, as you said, and get complacent, and in turn, maybe you don't pray as much as you used to, maybe you don't reflect as much as you used to, and maybe you don't just simply go before the Lord.
Yeah.
As often as you used to.
And take things for granted.
And maybe take things for granted. And maybe you don't ask the Lord to search, Lord, search my heart. And show me it, show me any way that's not straight.
Mm.
Like Psalm 139 says.
Yeah.
Because you get busy with ministry, you get busy doing stuff, but the ministry is an outcropping of your relationship with God. And it's the same thing with Jesus, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in power, and God's really going to move in that power when you're united with Him, in union with Him.
Yeah,
So there's a connection there that is essential, or is an extremely important. But that ability to just keep yourself humble and have a humbling heart and go before the Lord and ask Him to prune you. It's not always a fun thing to do, but God's merciful.
Mm-hmm.
It's much better to say, Lord, show me the error of my ways than for you to rebel against it and say, well, I have no error of my ways, and then God's going to have to deal with you.
Did I mention I don't always like being pruned?
I think you mentioned that once or twice.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. We get pretty much set in our ways of, well, I'm the one in charge here, and I'm the one who's doing this, and I'm the one who's doing the teaching, and I'm the one who knows the scriptures, not those guys over there, and I'm the one who and next thing you know, you realize, ooh, there's this other thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it happens, and this is what he's trying to tell them. He says, he uses the word guide. The Spirit will guide them, and he's going to do it in all truth. He's going to teach them all truth. And this, of course, includes the scripture. Now, a good way of guiding is you're reading a passage of scripture and all of a sudden you realize something that you never thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, wow, I get this now in a different way than I did before. This is more powerful. This is deeper than the way I was thinking about it before.
Right.
Because I didn't think of this, because the Spirit as your guide and as your teacher, and that's with a capital T, is showing you something in the passage that, in your first couple readings of it or what you had read in some commentary didn't show you.
Right.
And this is, he's going to guide you through that, not just, guiding you to Kansas City or wherever, but he's also going to guide you through the scriptures. You might even end up in Youngstown. Who knows? But okay. he may explain the scripture to you as you go. And then when people say to me all the time, well, I read that and I don't get anything out of that. I read that and I didn't get anything like what you just said. But I always tell people, the Holy Spirit wrote the word, and it's not a mystery. It's not some kind of secret knowledge that only a couple of people know.
Right.
If you ask him to show you what it means, he's going to be happy to show you what it means.
Yeah.
And he's going to do it in a way that is going to be compatible with how you think and how you process things and what your understanding is. And you may get some pieces of information a little at a time. Or you may just get whacked over the head and you go, whoa, I never thought about that before. Because he's being a teacher and he's being a guide.
Yeah, exactly. That if you, let me go here. If you go to John, or I'm sorry, James chapter 1, verse 5, it talks, the Bible talks just about that point there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I'm trying to get there.
It's right after Hebrews.
Yes, it is. And let perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But if any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Scripture even tells us, go and ask God. If you lack wisdom, ask him. God will give it to you generously and ungrudgingly.
Yeah.
He'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And this is really that new life, and that new life that the Holy Spirit brings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in a lot of ways, sin deadens us.
Mm, yeah.
If you will.
Yes. It's a good way to put it. Good way to put it.
Yeah. Sin will desensitize us to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Sin will obviously alienate us from our relationship with God, and it will ultimate wages for sin is death. But as we're living in this world, if we are in sinful habits or sinful patterns, and we don't try to correct those things by the help of God with His grace, then that sin dulls us to the sense of how the Holy Spirit is moving, what God is trying to do. And so, but if we go to God and ask Him for this gift of new life, being in this covenant with Him, He's going to give it to us because that's what He wants for us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Jesus is pointing out that I'll guide you through this thing, and He's written the Scriptures. He's preserved the truth.
Mm-hmm.
In the entire Word, Old Testament and New Testament.
Yeah.
Remember, the Bible starts in Genesis 1:1, not Matthew 1:1. So, if you want to take my Torah class, call Steve. He's going to open up a class in Youngstown. But anyway, it's in Old Testament and New Testament because, people in the wilderness learned about God. They were convicted of things. People in the 21st century, Northern Ohio, are learning things, being convicted of sin, being shown truth. It's not something that stopped in the year 90 or the year 100 or whatever. It's still going on. And he points out too that you're going to be guided into all truth. Now, truth with a capital T is different than just knowing knowledge. And as we always say, you can recite a whole bunch of facts about Jesus. Right?
Right.
I mean, you can be an atheist and recite a whole bunch of facts about Jesus, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the truth that's an intimate knowledge, discovering more and more of it and in a deeper and deeper way.
Right.
The ancient rabbis used to say that studying the Word was like peeling an onion. You peel off a layer, then there's another layer, then there's another layer. And by the time you get through four or five layers, what looked like a simple sentence, you actually got a lot of complicated information out of.
Yeah.
And then you, as you experience it more, as he guides you into more truth through more scripture, then you have a longing for it. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a longing to know the scriptures, then that's not good as a believer.
Right.
You should be longing for that. And they're going to need this knowledge, and they're going to need this direction because of what they're going to do. They're going to go out and preach in the whole world.
Exactly.
They're going to have to explain the truth, defend the truth. The Spirit's not going to be talking about something different. The Spirit doesn't have a different agenda than the Father and the Son, of course.
Right.
But it's all going to come together, and they're going to understand all of these things that Jesus did, all these things they read about in the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament, of course, all the things they experienced with the Spirit. All this is going to come together, and they're going to be able to preach this to people because the Spirit is going to show them that that's the truth. And it's a consistent doctrine with what they've heard from the Son, who, of course, was Jesus, Yeshua, and what they've read in the Word and they've heard on the Saturday mornings in the synagogue.
Right.
Woo. Oh, that's the second brick already. Wow. I hear Paul Wilbur coming. Anyway, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Is
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, we're down to a few minutes.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. I want Steve to read a passage because we're talking about how the Spirit's going to teach and how he's going to teach fullness of truth, the whole truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
I have that.
Yeah. Well, you want to do 9 through 13?
Let's do 9 through 13.
Yeah, go ahead.
But as it is written, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. This God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. Among human beings, who knows what pertains to a person except the spirit of the person that is within? Similarly, no one knows what pertains to God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the things freely given us by God. And we speak about them not with words taught by human wisdom, but with words taught by the Spirit, describing spiritual realities in spiritual terms.
Oof.
Wow.
Wow, so can we rely on the Spirit's knowledge and teaching? Yes. And his power? Yes. The Spirit even scrutinizes the depths of God.
Yeah.
Oof. That's a very powerful sentence, which we'll never be able to understand what that means. But, you know, this is the teacher that we have now. This is the teacher. He searches the depths of God. He communicates with our spirit. He shows you things that you can't understand. He explains things to you that in a million years you wouldn't think of.
Right.
It's awesome. I mean, Paul, did I mention 1 Corinthians might be my favorite book, but Paul really does this in such a beautiful way in how he phrases it.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah.
The Spirit is the only one, you know, we can't understand God. The Spirit is even scrutinizing the depths of God.
Yeah.
It's there's not even words to describe what that could possibly mean.
I mean, it's like truth scrutinizing truth.
Yes.
You know, it's just amazing that it's that deep of a reality.
Yeah.
With the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And this is the comforter, the helper, the paraclete that Jesus was talking about who's coming. And he says he's going to tell you what's going to happen. You know, he's going to be a spirit of prophecy.
Yeah.
Like you talk about in Joel chapter 2 or in some books 3. But interestingly, you know, Joel says the Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh. So it's not going to matter man or woman, all socioeconomic groups, all age groups. The Spirit's going to be poured out as the teacher, the helper, the paraclete. And he's going to stand beside these guys and, by extension, us in the 21st century. And he's going to be our guide and he's going to be our teacher. And he's going to convict us of sin and he's going to show us what we're doing. And he's going to show us where we need to be and what we need to say.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You know, but all of this leads us into that deep friendship with God.
Hmm.
You know, and that's what, you know, when Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that you might have it to the full.
Yeah.
This is really what the Lord was talking about. It's, you know, it wasn't so much that they're going to run the Romans out of town,
mm-hmm.
but it was that the heart of man would return to God where it rightly belongs. You know,
yeah.
Because what did Adam and Eve do? Their hearts turned from God and onto a tree and onto some fruit that was there.
Yeah.
You know, they talked with the God of the universe as you and I are talking now.
Yes. That's
and yet right. They looked at this tree with this fruit hanging from it and they took it.
Yeah.
And we do the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
We do the same exact thing when we sin.
Mm-hmm.
We turn from God and we go, look at how nice that looks. I want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a sad reality because we're still in that fallen state of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Jesus has won the battle, he's won the victory for us on the cross. The Spirit comes to us and reminds us of what he told us. The Spirit comes to us and helps us. He's our advocate,
yeah,
to stay in that right relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And to serve God.
Yeah.
And to serve his church.
Yeah. That's right. To build up the body. He gives us gifts which build up the body.
Yeah.
Build up the bride. But we could do about 18 shows on the church as the bride of Christ. But
yeah,
we're not going to do that right now. So, you know, the Spirit shows the glory of Jesus, what he's done, how this is salvation, all the things that came after this, the teachings, the tongues, the scriptures, the miracles. That was all to glorify Jesus and to show people that he's the way to salvation. And even though, like Paul writes in Colossians 1:19, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him, meaning Jesus of Nazareth, even though the fullness of the Godhead was in physical Jesus of Nazareth, when the Spirit comes, these people that have been with him for 3 years are going to get such a more powerful, in-depth truth than they had before. Whew, I can't believe the show's over. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we would just pray that you would be open to allow the Holy Spirit to probe your heart, your mind, and to show you those things that can lead you into a deeper relationship with God, and to remove those things that prohibit that relationship with God. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.